Welcome back to the Football Kingdom Podcast. With me is Tyler Mallon. I'm Brandon Johnson. It's been a few weeks since we have all been together. There's been really not a lot happening, but definitely have a few things NFL-wise to get into. Most notably, the Kansas City Chiefs stadium tax vote has happened since the last time we've all been together. And I'll just get into it real quick, and I'll kind of give my thoughts, and then Tyler can jump in on his. So the Chiefs and Royals came together and wanted to extend the 3/8 cent sales tax, and that extension would have given the Chiefs the green light to start the renovations that they proposed a few weeks prior to this vote, and then obviously the Royals with their downtown stadium. This was voted no by Jackson County, and it was a landslide. So this now gives the Chiefs and Royals, but we'll just focus on the Chiefs, kind of a new place to start. And it's back to square one, and it's, are they going to find a different way to get that money to renovate Arrowhead Stadium, or are they going to get in talks with Kansas and go across the border and build a brand new state-of-the-art stadium over in likely Wyandotte County where the Legends is? And what we know so far is that the Chiefs have actually been in talks with Kansas about a potential stadium, which makes sense because when your current situation or your potential situation gets voted down, you now have to kind of go back to square one. And I think, and I'll throw this to you here, Tyler, after I say this, but I don't think that the Chiefs getting voted no means that they're going to be leaving the Kansas City area. I think the Chiefs are here to stay. I know that there was rumblings that the mayor of Dallas said that Dallas has space and can support a second NFL team. Obviously, the Kansas City Chiefs originated in Dallas, and Lamar Hunt moved the Chiefs north to Kansas City, but they're not moving to Dallas. They're not moving to San Antonio. Jerry Jones is absolutely not having anybody else in Dallas. But where are you at on this, Tyler? Are you in the camp of let's keep Arrowhead alive and get and figure out a way to get these renovations done? Or are you in a situation where I don't dislike the idea of them going to Kansas and building a amazing stadium over there?
Right. Well, if it's a proposed, like, if it's out by the Legends, you know, like, it would be pretty close to the NASCAR, the Speedway, right?
Yeah, it would be over by the Speedway, by Children's Mercy Park, that whole outlet mall. It would be over there, and it'd be...
And the Renaissance Festival and all that.
Yeah, it'd be
There's
a great
There's nothing
spot.
Out there.
Yeah, I think
it'd I don't be... know. Well, yeah, I don't know where exactly they would put it, but, you know, I went to the Ren Fair a lot last year. I love that, but... There's nothing. It's just like, and it's Kansas. It's a lot of flat land. I feel like there's plenty of just empty space. There'd be no more. Well, this is a Royals issue, but there wouldn't be worry about parking or plenty of space. You could do anything you wanted out there, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
My question for you, because I wanted to get in a few things with this, but when would be the earliest that the Chiefs would move? Let's say they don't renovate, or even if they do, I mean, what's the earliest timeline of like, all right, well, our contract or whatever, or like Arrowhead is kind of done. You know, have you heard like an actual date of like when the earliest they would move would be?
So the lease at the Truman Sports Complex for the Chiefs and the Royals runs through January 31st of 2031. So
okay,
they would play there through 2030 and into the 2031 playoffs. would be there. They would host the AFC Championship at that at Arrowhead.
So we're talking at least 7 years,
right? And that's if they stay the whole time. Like if we want to look at the Royals, just to kind of compare the two, because obviously the Royals are tied into this lease as well. If the stadium would have passed, if the stadium tax would have passed, the Royals' plan was to be in their brand new stadium by at least 2028. So they were going to forfeit 3 years, 2 years of that lease, 2029 and 2030 of that lease, and be in their new stadium. So that's not to say that that can't happen for the Chiefs as well. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know. Like there's not even, like, it's not crazy to think that they're going to stay put in Arrowhead. Obviously, Arrowhead isn't going anywhere anytime soon because it's going to be hosting multiple World Cup games in 2026. So it has that, and there's actually work being done on the stadium now to help facilitate that. But an NFL stadium, especially one that would be state-of-the-art like a SoFi or an Allegiant Stadium or just a dome in general, that would take significantly longer than it would for the Royals to build an open-air 35,000-seat stadium downtown, I would think. Right. So feels to me like the Chiefs would play out the lease and possibly even have an extension on the lease if they needed.
Sure. So, yeah, before I kind of respond to that, I wanted to mention, like, there has been a lot of, like, fear-mongering with, like you said, the Texas thing, and, you know, but there was also fear-mongering on the other side, you know, with Mark Donovan and the Chiefs. You know, we as Kansas Cityans, we talked a lot about this and, like, how they really failed to get the right message across. Both teams doing this together is also not the answer. Probably really never was, but now, you know, moving forward, they're definitely going to worry about themselves, you know, like whatever tax things that they are going to want to do moving forward, each team is going to move on to their own thing, you know, so that's definitely a step in the right direction. But the failure here in the first place was like the messaging was really lost. It was really kind of bad messaging. They kept changing things last minute. And then there was talk of like, well, if you don't vote this, the Chiefs will move. They might move out of, you know, Missouri or Kansas, which I'm like, I don't know. It feels unrealistic, you know, to have. If they weren't, you know, Mahomes and the Super Bowl wins, then I would be like, okay, that's a real possibility. But I feel like they have such an identity, you know, here. You know, with all the success in Mahomes, why would you want to move that to another state? Unless it's absolutely necessary. I feel like that's out of the question, in my opinion. Obviously, we've got a long way to go, but yeah. I don't know. I really don't think that's going to happen. I just wanted to throw that out there. In my opinion, at the worst, I think it's Kansas. You know, I'm hopeful that they still stick around in Missouri. But, yeah. I do think that, yeah, Kansas location would be pretty cool because there's a lot of freedom there. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think one thing that's compelling for like Kansas is sports gambling is legal in Kansas. That's obviously right. A revenue generator for the Chiefs. The other thing that's compelling for the Chiefs to go to Kansas is that they have a surplus over there. They have star bonds. They have all these different things that they could right now say, let's build a stadium. They wouldn't need to take it to the public. Okay. So if the Chiefs wanted to and Kansas wanted to, they could just be like, let's do this thing. Let's get it going. Let's not even mess with asking the public for money. Let's just get it done. So okay. It's like, honestly, it's a really compelling idea for the Chiefs to do that. But I think there's a part of Clark Hunt that wants to make Arrowhead work, even though like they talked about it, even like the jealousy of going to Vegas and seeing that stadium, and I already mentioned SoFi in Los Angeles. Like, we want that. So I think if it can be served up on a silver platter in Kansas, you might go for it. But I think there's still a part of Clark Hunt that wants to keep his dad's legacy alive at Arrowhead. But I was seeing, and I actually think that the Chiefs and the Royals will both stay in Kansas City, because I know, like you said, there's just been a lot of fear-mongering just on both ends, even like the Royals moving to Nashville or Portland or Salt Lake City or whatever, Charlotte. And I saw something that came through today from Royals Review. The city manager for Kansas City, Brian Platt, he did an interview. I don't think he did it with Royals Review. I can't actually find the original source, but Brian Platt said the city is in talks with both teams, being the Royals and the Chiefs, and will take the lead in future negotiations, displacing Jackson County government from that role. And if you're paying attention, like, closely to everything that kind of went on, Jackson County, Frank White notably was kind of the roadblock. Like, Frank White, Royals Hall of Famer, has his number retired, was fired by the Royals, kind of has had a personal vendetta against the Royals for a long time for kind of being, having to play second fiddle to George Brett. He has gotten in the way of this multiple times of vetoing the special election for the stadium tax, and then the other legislators having to get in and override his veto. So Brian Platt's like, we're going to lead it. We're not even going to mess with Jackson County. And he also said that the next deal for a downtown ballpark, this obviously doesn't have anything to do with the Chiefs, but a downtown ballpark, they could figure out a way to make it to where they don't even require a public vote. I don't know if that's them finding private funding or just like other channels of like getting that money, but there's still a real possibility that Arrowhead is here to stay and that the Royals get that Crossroads stadium built just in a different way without having to go to the public, which I've kind of said, even after the no vote, that I feel like that downtown stadium dream isn't dead for the Royals yet. But still a lot to consider, a lot of discussions. Maybe for both of these stadium situations, and I'll kind of put our focus back on the Chiefs, maybe we'll know second half of the year, maybe November, they have a better plan laid out and they do put together a deal that's separate from the Royals that they can bring to the public and say, well, what do you think of this? No, they'll have to do a significantly better job than they did last time, because I think you and I both agree that their proposal was completely underwhelming, and Mark Donovan and Clark Hunt did a terrible job from a PR standpoint in selling that idea to the public.
Yeah, only a few of those things, and I talked about on the last episode, that were even compelling, but not a whole lot. What's really most fans that don't have a lot of cash to throw around, especially, we're just like, okay, don't really need these upgrades, as you put it. And they're not as in a dire situation like the Royals, when they have like concrete rotten, the situations they've got there, like they have to move, they can't renovate. So yeah, put a little bit, you know, longer timeline for the Chiefs, but yeah, still puts these, you know, us fans in a pretty awkward spot of like, you got people who are like, well, we're Super Bowl winning, Patrick Mahomes leading, you know, Chiefs, and we're gonna move. It's like, I don't like that, you know. They haven't really come straight out and said that. That's more, the Royals have kind of you know, hinted at that or used that as like a bargaining tactic, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, a lot to, we'll obviously keep everybody posted on anything that we find out or any news that comes out about the stadium situation, because it's not going away anytime soon. Obviously, we're really kind of just getting started again since the no vote happened. It's like back to square one, and we're just going to kind of go with the flow and see where this thing takes us. Now, to stick on the Kansas City Chiefs. I think everybody is aware that wide receiver Rashee Rice was involved in a multi-vehicle car crash in Dallas where he was driving a Lamborghini at 120 miles an hour. He is being sued by crash victims for
$1 million.
Yeah, for basically medical bills. In short, and it's definitely a bad situation. It seems like the Chiefs are going to stand by Rashee Rice and kind of keep him. I think this is like a, I think they could justify cutting him, but this is not the first time that the Chiefs have had a wide receiver in a sticky situation. And I think they're going to give him the opportunity to learn from this and do all of the right things that you do when you do something stupid and reckless and negligent. I'm curious with this situation, and I think more and more might come out about this. I'm curious to see what his suspension is going to be. Is it going to be 4 games, 6 games? Suspensions are always tough in the NFL because they are so inconsistent about their suspensions. I'm kind of in the camp that he's going to get a 4-game suspension and he'll miss September and he'll be back sometime in October. I don't know where you're at on that.
Well, there really hasn't been a precedent for this exact case because there's just so much wrong with what he did. I'm not entirely sure, but I think both vehicles were owned by him, possibly, and
they were they're both leased by him.
Okay.
They're in his name.
Yeah, they're both, the cars are owned in his name, which is not a good look. So you and your friends are out racing each other. You're wrecking into multiple cars, multiple car accident that you then flee the scene of. And there's
and that's the big problem.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do not do that. You probably don't do that, obviously. Or you do that because you probably have guns or drugs or something. You know, that's alleged, but it's not a good look. Either way, you should not be doing that. And that's probably the reason you did it. It's extremely frustrating for this to happen. Andy Reid had already said, they just started their season workouts and stuff, and he said, yeah, he'll be there. And Andy Reid is basically putting it on the justice system of whatever happens with legalities of everything, that's, we'll handle that when it comes. And then the suspensions, he probably won't get suspended yet until the season starts. So that's kind of where they stand, but it's just really frustrating for this guy to, the Chiefs really need him right now, and he goes and pulls stuff like this is just kind of ridiculous. But it's also the fact that, he is still pretty young, and you're allowed to make mistakes and learn from them, but it's also man, you're an NFL professional. You should definitely know better. Age does not, excuse you from a mistake like this.
And that's, I think for me, that's the frustrating thing is, after his rookie season, he set himself up to propel himself even further to be one of the best receivers in the league. Not to say that he still can't do that, but you won a Super Bowl, you had the makings of being a star, and you made poor decisions with your friends. And I just think you got to be better than that. You have to have a better judgment than that and just make better decisions. So we'll see how all this plays out from a legal standpoint and how the NFL themselves decides to handle it. But I hope that he can make an impact on this Kansas City Chiefs team in 2024, because otherwise they're going to be back in the market for a wide receiver. Again, it's kind of all we have on that front right now. I think the really not much else has happened in the league outside of Stephon Diggs got traded to the Houston Texans. And this one's interesting and really not surprising, because prior to, actually, let's go back to the division round game between the Bills and the Bengals. You remember when Stephon Diggs was caught on camera yelling at Josh Allen?
Yes.
So
not the first.
That's when, that's kind of when we were like, oh, what's going on here? And then you get into the offseason and Stephon Diggs doesn't show up to a voluntary camp. And Sean McDermott quote that he's very concerned that Stephon Diggs didn't show up. So it just felt like there was a rift going into the 2023 season, in that this team's window was closing. Now, they ended up obviously making the playoffs, being the 2 seed and losing to the Chiefs as they do in the playoffs. But it kind of felt like that was the end of that chapter for the Bills, the Stephon Diggs chapter. And he is, yeah, officially been traded to Houston. And Houston's getting a good receiver. He's had at least 1,100 yards in 5 seasons in a row. So you're getting a productive wide receiver in Houston to complement CJ Stroud, who has had a great, obviously had a great rookie season. And D'Amico Ryan's head coach. Two things. Does this propel the Texans to challenging the Chiefs for the AFC? Is that the AFC championship right there, the Chiefs and the Texans? And also, is the Bills window closed?
Good question. But Houston is insane right now. They were already looking great last year without Stephon Diggs. And now you're talking again, CJ Stroud is the QB. They picked up Joe Mixon. They now have Stephon Diggs as their wide receiver one. They have Nico Collins and Tank Dell, who already was insane last year with a rookie. They have Dalton Schultz as their tight end. And they've got Laremy Tunsil as their left tackle. You know, like, this is a really good offense. Just immediately. They were already really good. And honestly, a beginnings of a threat. You put Stephon Diggs out there, and he does the same production, which I would assume probably gets a little bit more production with this type of arm talent. You know, that's a very scary team. The Buffalo side, I don't know. I don't really know what they had. I think this leaves them with $31 million in dead cap, because now that Diggs is gone, so they clearly wanted him out. Brandon Bean had some really weird, not weird. It's just his press conference was very odd. I thought it was very strange, because he goes out there, you know, Brandon Bean being the GM of the Bills, and says, okay, we're not giving up. It basically, the whole thing was very negative. I thought it was just a very strange press conference, it just these quotes that were like, you know, we're not giving up. Wait until September. You know, I just thought it was such a strange thing for a GM to come out and say, of like, you didn't really have to say that. Like, the dude has been a problem. He's a problem child. You know, he's a diva. And he has been pretty good. But honestly, I watched a lot of Bills games last year. You watch them through the playoffs. In my opinion, Stephon Diggs didn't really make a difference in the playoffs. You know, I don't really see him as like a huge difference maker when it comes down to it. You know, he's obviously, you know, got a lot of yards, but I don't really see them as getting that much weaker necessarily. Because honestly, every time the Chiefs played him, he didn't really exist. I mean, obviously that was Snead a lot of the time, but I don't know. I just didn't see him making big plays in big moments. You know, it could be wrong, but what I can remember, I don't think they're losing a whole lot with Stephon being gone. But I also do think, and I tweeted this, like, two things can be true. Like, the Bills are going to be, you know, a little less better. I think they'll figure out, you know, how to replace him, whether it's play calling and moving guys around or picking up somebody else, moving on. But, you know, Houston can also get better with him. You know, it really, you know, two things can be true at the same time where, you know, Houston can be a lot better. And I think he could play better too. I think that is an impossible where, you know, a guy who honestly wasn't playing that bad, I don't really think he showed up when he needed to. And again, that might not be his fault. But I think he could also be even better on this team. You know, younger QB, getting the ball, making crazy throws, who can make what I think is the Mahomes factor of the 2-minute, you know, drill. Like, you've got that with this guy. He already showed it. He had two comeback games last year, CJ Stroud. You know, and that's really what sets, you know, really good QBs apart from being like a top 10 to like a top 3, where you're actually winning, you know, your team games whenever you can march down the field and make plays. So, I don't know. I think it's extremely exciting, probably a little scary for the Chiefs as far as Houston goes. So, what do you think about the Bills exactly?
So, for the Bills, I think I don't necessarily know if they're going to miss the playoffs, but obviously it's Chiefs 1. I think Stephon Diggs, I think Houston, with or without Stephon Diggs, was going to take a step forward. Stephon Diggs, I think, helps. Now, as you said, he wasn't the X factor for the Bills, so I don't think he's the difference for the Texans. Like, that wouldn't make sense. But he definitely helps having that veteran presence in your wide receiver room. But for the Bills, who you do get worse losing Stephon Diggs, you still have Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel apparently, but Dalton Kincaid, like Josh Allen, great regular season quarterback. I'll give him that. They lost Gabe Davis as well.
Right.
So they're going to be in the market for a wide receiver, and that's likely, obviously, going to come at the draft here in a couple weeks. I feel like the Bengals, Joe Burrow is going to return. The Bengals are going to be better. I'm not going to get too crazy here, but I like to think that the Chargers are going to be better with Jim Harbaugh coaching. The Colts, probably going to be decent. Anthony Richardson's going to return. And obviously, the Bills still have the Dolphins to worry about inside of their own division. The Dolphins kind of collapsed at the back half of last season. Like, that was their division to lose, and they let it get away from them. And we don't know what the Jets really are going to look like with Aaron Rodgers. See, he'll be returning, and the Jets have a solid roster. They were just led by Zach Wilson last season. So I just think
new uniforms.
Yeah, apparently. I couldn't really tell a difference. But I just feel like the Bills have kind of fallen down the hierarchy in the AFC. I think, and I even think, well, they were up with the Chiefs. I think a lot of it was manufactured by the media anyway, because they had really, in the playoffs, they went to one AFC championship, but they were then just perennial division round losers. And we just wanted Josh Allen to be this anointed king, and it just never came to fruition. And I think you're going to see that, even that kind of thought process, get moved away from as we get closer to next season, just because I think, you know, the shine of the Bills, I guess, has worn off, and there's other things to pay attention to now. So I actually think there's a lot of pressure on the Bills next season with Sean McDermott and the general manager, whose name escapes me, to win
in
2024.
I think it's it's a really good point, actually, because you lose your essentially top two receivers, and honestly, they definitely got a lot weaker. That is definitely true. But I think the play calling is really what lost them the Chiefs game. You know, the championship, or that was the divisional.
Yeah, the division round. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't even speak about the Ravens.
Right.
I don't know how I did that. They'll be good too.
Oh yeah, they'll be still better than the Bills. But
yeah.
So I think the Bills definitely got weaker. They'll have the draft, but that's a huge gamble. But they still have James Cook. They'll have Josh Allen. You know, it's there's so much talent there, and there's a reason that they've always kind of, you know, butted heads with the Chiefs and whoever. But I don't know. It's a shocking, because you talk about Sean McDermott being on the hot seat, and they just extended him for like 6 or 7 years again. Like, they gave him like two extensions, like back to back seasons, whatever it was, or every, you know, one season in there, but. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But yeah, I don't really see them being any better this season. I think they're going to be as good or worse, and that's not good. But it's also comes down to probably play calling. If they would have, you know, called a different game against the Chiefs, you know, maybe they go and lose to the Ravens. So.
Well, play calling and better decision making from Josh Allen. So.
Sure. Yeah, all the interceptions.
Yeah, but... yeah, that's kind of the, you know, news or lack of news that has been going on around the NFL. I think next time we talk, it'll be draft time. I think the draft will have just wrapped up. So we'll obviously get into that and look at all of the additions that the Chiefs made and how that will impact them in the 2024 season. So, if you don't have anything else, Tyler, I'm going to get us out of here. All right.
Oh, man.
Cool. All right. Thank you for listening this week. We will catch you guys in a couple weeks. See you later. See you later. Let me try that again.
Okay, bye.
Bye.